Good morning, namaste to all of you. This morning I read a post of a friend of mine, Rohit, where he says, when you can no longer escape your office or to society, then you know who you truly are. It is the wisdom teachings, these spiritual teachings, that take us through such times. I would like to share with you one quotation of Ramana Maharshi, which deeply impacted me and sums up the understanding. I hope you can read it on the screen. It says, the ordainer controls the fate of souls in accordance with their prarabdha karma. Whatever is destined not to happen will not happen, try as you may. Whatever is destined to happen will happen. Do what you may to prevent it. This is certain. The best course, therefore, is to remain silent. I would like to repeat this. The ordainer controls the fate of souls in accordance with their prarabdha karma. Whatever is destined not to happen will not happen. Try as you may. Whatever is destined to happen will happen. Do what you may to prevent it. This is certain. The best course, therefore, is to remain silent. And by silent, Bhagwan does not mean keeping silent. He refers to the silence of the mind, the thinking mind. And this entire teaching is geared to annihilate the thinking mind. This quotation of Bhagwan's points to the four simple words of the Bible, Thy will be done. Nothing can happen unless it is the will of God. And my teacher Rameshji said something very beautiful. He said, true meditation in daily life is accepting the will of God. If one can live that way, that in itself is meditation. Because the thinking mind is then still, not creating an imaginary future or going into the dead past. Which means being present. So one doesn't need to do anything to be present. There is another gem of a book I have here called Conscious Immortality. Conversations with Sri Ramana Maharshi. And I would like to read out just one sentence which drives home this point. Maharshi said, real attainment was to be fully conscious, to be aware of your surroundings and the people around, to move among them all, but not to merge your consciousness in the environment. Remain in your inner independent awareness of it. That is the highest. I shall repeat this. Maharshi said real attainment was to be fully conscious, to be aware of your surroundings and the people around, to move among them all, but not to merge your consciousness in the environment. Remain in your inner independent awareness of it. Now, what happens with this teaching is that when the thinking mind of the ego, with its sense of doership, is annihilated, one is conscious of simply being. That is the gift of this teaching. One notices that the mind, the stories it was creating, the havoc it was playing, blaming and condemning people and circumstances and situations, full of hatred, malice, jealousy, envy, pride, arrogance, guilt and shame for what others are supposed to have done or I am supposed to have done. When all that is dissolved by the acceptance that no one truly does anything and God is the primal doer, then the thinking mind is disengaged. It is no longer engaged in the function of thinking. And when it is disengaged, you find you are not involved in the drama of life like you used to be. You are not involved in the story of life like you used to be. You are in full awareness of it. It is witnessed, pure and complete witnessing. But that witnessing has not turned into observing and judging. Then one witnesses whatever arises as movements in consciousness. Sometimes pleasure, but many times pain. If I pressed a button and your memory was wiped out completely, as my teacher would say, what would be left is the impersonal awareness of being. Why impersonal? Because me as a person is wiped out. I know I exist, but I no longer know I exist as Gautam. And then I grow older and I start getting enveloped with conditioning. Encrusted, hardened walls of conditioning build up around me based on my life's experiences. And I start viewing the world through that conditioning. And create this split. People I like, people I don't like. Things I like, things I don't like. The fundamental nature of life, which is duality, now gets converted to dualism. The me and the other becomes me versus the other. And these wisdom teachings, if one is fortunate enough to come across them, whatever they may be, these teachings shine a light, the light of awareness. that this is how it is. This is what has happened. This has been your journey so far. And then the grace of that teaching creates fresh conditioning. You start viewing life differently. You see life no longer with the eyes of duality, but the eye of wisdom. The single eye. You are no longer enmeshed in this morbid dance of duality. If thine eye be single, thy whole body will be full of light. If thine eye be single, thy whole body will be full of light. So light of consciousness, conscious presence, being in the moment. Maharaj would say, we are always itching to do things. We are itching to make use of consciousness. It is very hard to live as consciousness. So at times like these, when we can't do much in that sense, these are beautiful gifts and opportunities to go within, to contemplate. To reflect on these teachings, on what the wise ones have said before us, so that we are empowered to face life's challenges with the light of a new understanding. The mind does not want to be quiet. Always wants to chase activities and get involved because when it is quiet, it doesn't know itself. It is afraid of that. A quiet mind to the mind is a dead mind, and it is afraid of its own death. So it keeps projecting outwards. creating incessant activity, relationships, and dependency on people, objects of entertainment, objects of interest. Keeps getting attached to thought forms. And becomes this big, gigantic boulder one is carrying on one's shoulders. That is the nature of the mind. And it is only to be seen. That is why Bhagwan, and for some reason Ramana Maharshi, is coming through this talk. That is why Bhagwan would say that don't waste your time trying to fight thoughts. Just shift your focus of attention away from them. And where would that be? As Maharaj pointed out, to your sense of presence, to your being. And to be frank, so many of us have now seen so much of life go by, so many ups and downs, pains and disappointments, pleasures which don't last. It is our own very experience that everything is transient, temporary, fleeting. It is so simple to see that our true happiness cannot be derived from the flow of life, as has been our experience, but it could be derived from one's attitude to life. And one's attitude to life is one's attitude to the other, whoever the other may be. My family member, colleague at work, friend, or even the stranger on the road. And if one's attitude is to see the divine in all, or as it is said in the Gita, where Krishna says, see me in all beings. And we clearly see, not just as a fantasy, but how everyone we meet is shaped by their conditioning, which they did not create or inflict upon themselves. If everyone is shaped by factors which were beyond their control, where they were born, the income group they were born in, the religion they were born into, their environment, social, economic, geographical, based on which they started thinking and viewing life and the world. If nobody has any control on those factors, just like we don't have, how futile it is to blame others and condemn and hate them and deride them and mock them which is the pastime of many people on social media platforms. Not to forget that all this is arising in one's own field of consciousness. So, what is the content of consciousness as far as you are concerned? That is why Maharaj said to criticize anyone is to criticize the affairs of Brahman. Life is short. We only realize that as the years roll by. Yet we feel we will live forever. And we play out our old patterns, projections, conditionings relentlessly to defend ourselves in this violent world. What will happen to me? But this question we don't ask in deep sleep when the me is absent. So before I look at the questions, I would like to add that these are gifts we have today in terms of technology to share the space with one another, not to consider it as spiritual entertainment or time pass, as we say here, but truly to see how gracious consciousness or the source is by exposing us to these ancient teachings which have always supported man through the cycles of birth and death, always been here. It ancient messages have come down over centuries, but the messengers have been different. The message is the same. Life is so strange. I remember when I was about 24 years old, I started visiting the office and I was the youngest. The entire staff was elder to me. And once a client came for a meeting, I mentioned this before, I think, in a talk. And he entered my cabin and sat down and wouldn't say anything. So I offered him a cup of tea and he said, okay, the tea came. But there was no talk, there was no discussion, nothing was really happening. And I think a good 10, 15 minutes passed and then he kept looking at his watch. And so he said, can I know how long I have to wait for? So I said, but why do you have to wait? And he said, I'm waiting for your boss to come. And at that time, I felt maybe I should wear numberless glasses so I look older. Now, of course, I can't read text that clearly. But it reminds me of that incident, that this is what happens with time. It's amazing. I also used to look at the sun pretty often. I found it mesmerizing, you know, the blazing light of the sun in the sky and how it blessed everything it touched and brought things to life. And of course, people would say, don't do that, you'll damage your eyes. And sure enough, perhaps some of that happened, but it was quite spectacular to get lost in the radiance of the sun, which Maharaj, I think, said is visible Brahman, the God visible to mankind. And yet, we hardly revere it. We take it for granted. And it doesn't care. Because it's its nature.